the supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death, and bestowed life, and made sick, and healed, and made well, and afflicted, and sat upon the throne, and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. This is today's special and the topic is A Message to Save the World. Today, Tuesday, is the 22nd of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 31st of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Nu, verse 28.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا تَبَارًا.
My Lord, forgive me and my parents and whoever enters my house a believer and the believing men and believing women, and do not increase the wrongdoers except in destruction.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Invoke Allah Almighty for forgiveness reflects that Noah, the prophet, is saying that he spent hundreds of years in incessantly imparting his prophetic call and forbore all the hardships in the cause of Allah, though he had to invoke Allah the Almighty to forgive him since he might have had neglected some priority. The invocation reflects that Noah the prophet, peace be upon him, did not regard himself as totally free from blame. Such friends of Allah the Almighty, after making some many efforts in Allah's cause, still think that they might have made mistakes. But unlike people who, within their small capacities, magnify themselves to the extent that they regard God Almighty obliged to grant them His grace, Allah's friends are never entangled with vanity and egotism.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein.
A message to save the world. Paying a tribute to Imam al-Hussein, Thomas Carlyle says, "The best lesson which we get from the tragedy of Karbala is that Hussein and his companions were rigid believers in God. They illustrated that their numerical superiority does not count when it comes to the truth and the falsehood. The victory of Hussein, despite his minority, marvels me." By his character, Imam al-Hussein demonstrated that a true believer cannot be a slave of anyone except Allah. His head cannot bow before any dictator. The blood of Hussein was powerful enough to turn the table, and the dormant ummah was awakened by his stroke.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the main messages of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam for the whole world. Imam al-Hussein salam sacrificed whatever was available to him and whatever was in his possession solely in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to enliven the name of Islam and to revive the Quranic teachings in his lifetime and for the rest of history and for the rest of world. Now we find that Imam al-Hussein al-Salam's messages to the whole world are very much abundant. One of them is that any nobleman, any noble person should understand that death with dignity is much better and superior and far more superior than living in denigration. If we consider this, this keyword or this, key concept in the teachings of Imam Hussein al-Salam, we find that not only Muslims, but also all people, irrespective of their religion, faith, language, nationality, or, for example, other criteria or other considerations. Everybody should live in a noble state such that nobody would exert any slightest pressure on other people. And from this perspective, we find that based on such notions, such important notions, we find that other people or other dignitaries in other countries, in other cultures, nations, and so on, have received tremendous lessons and conspicuous lessons and insights from this notion as expressed by Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Standing here alone on a land so far from home, a place where angels cry, where little children die. Hussein said goodbye, praying some of them survive the torture and the heat. They can't bear to watch him leave. They cry out, Hussein.
Muharram, a continuous mission against injustice. Imam fought the battle with Yazid on the spiritual plane. He opposed Yazid's might with his nobility of character, confronted power with powerlessness, and multitudes with want of material support, and defined oppression with suffering and martyrdom. What Imam al-Hussein did is something that is unmatchable as far as the fight for upholding justice and equality is concerned. It was his way of delivering justice when, despite knowing that Hur, the brave commander of Yazid's army, was there to round him up to Karbala, he offered his platoon with water by going thirsty himself. It was his way of delivering justice when he gave his slave an equal place with his other companions along with himself. The real meaning of justice is to give a person or a thing a place it deserves most, and Imam did exactly the same. If seen seriously, each and every event of Karbala teaches us how to seek and stand for justice in extremely unfavorable and life-threatening circumstances.
Hussein al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Hussein, Hussein al-Shahid al-Shahid al-Hussein.
The sermon of Imam Sajjad in Kufa. Imam Sajjad said, O people, I put you on your oath to tell me in the name of Allah whether you know that at one time you wrote letters to my father and then deceived him. You made firm promises with him and then rose to fight against him. May Allah destroy you. May you reap the harvest of your misdeeds in both the worlds. And may you be disgraced for the indecent policy which you have adopted. How will you face the Prophet of Allah when you are brought before him on the Day of Judgment, and with which eyes will you look at him? At that time, the Holy Prophet would tell you, you have killed my children and behaved towards me dishonorably. You are not my followers.
The beauty of the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is that it lifts us. It doesn't allow this dunya to captivate our hearts. We live in this dunya. We thank Allah for the blessings that He's given us. We can excel in this dunya in terms of our business, in terms of our even materialistic lifestyle. Allah doesn't tell us to reject His blessings. But the Imam teaches us, don't let this dunya play with your heart. The minute you feel the dunya is pulling you, money is pulling you, power is pulling you, lust is pulling you, something is pulling you, say no. Because eventually it will bring you to your destruction. The reason why the people failed their test during the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was because of the dunya. This dunya deceived them. Going forward, be able to protect your heart from this dunya, from the strong, powerful magnet of this dunya, to rise above the materialistic aspect of this dunya, to be indifferent. We have a hadith that states, if Allah loves a person, zahadahu fid dunya, He makes you zahid in this dunya. Now, the word zuhd in Arabic can be translated in a number of ways. Some people say humble, some people say ascetic, leading an ascetic lifestyle. It doesn't really quite capture it. I think the best word that captures the essence of zuhd is indifference. When you're indifferent, I can have millions. I may be a successful businessman, but I'm indifferent to my house, to my car, to my money, to my bank account. Who cares? Can you reach that level where you really feel this way? It doesn't matter. That's just an amana in my hand. It can be taken away any minute from me. And if Allah takes it away from me, okay, it's not the end of the world. I have bigger goals. Can you think at that level? Imam Hussein teaches you, think at that level. Be indifferent to this dunya. Because when you're indifferent to this dunya, you pass your test. You don't fall into the trap of materialism. Materialism does not give you comfort. Materialism does not make you content. Rich people are not necessarily comfortable psychologically, mentally, spiritually. They're not content. Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Dear friend, that was all for today's special. May all the praises and thanks be to Allah, to whom belongs all that is in heavens and in the earth. May Allah bless all of you. Be with us for another episode of today's special, inshallah. Thank you and fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us enlighten our minds with a wonderful saying from the martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. There are 70 advantages for saying salam, that is peace upon you. 69 for the one who greets first, and one for the person who responds to the greeting. Thank you.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. There is a very beautiful tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in which he is speaking to his blessed daughter, Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha. Now obviously you can imagine the heart of Lady Zahra salamullah alayha when she found out about the incident of Karbala and what will happen to her blessed son Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on that day while alone. And there was a whole discussion between her and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam regarding that event. And then the Holy Prophet, in trying to, you know, not trying to, actually calming her down and showing her that don't worry, this is all in the plan, even though she knew all of this, but again, she's a mother, right? So the Holy Prophet then tells her, Salamullah alayha, Ya Fatima, O my beloved daughter, O Fatima, that every eye, will be crying on the day of judgment. For what? Out of fear, out of terror, and out of absolute fright. You know, you're now going into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything will be laid bare in front of you. Of course you will be crying, you will be scared, you do not know what's going to happen. It is your judgment, your final judgment. So every eye on that day will be crying out of fear, out of terror, out of suspense. There's nothing good to cry about. Then the Holy Prophet adds, And he shows the state and the station of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam within the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, O Fatima, every eye shall be weeping on the day of judgment, except that eye which has shed tears over the tragedy of Husayn alayhi salam. For surely that eye shall be blissful, shall be laughing, shall be happy, and shall be given the glad tidings of the bounties and comforts of paradise. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, it is important to realize and to us to understand that it's just not tears in itself. Tears for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam in the majority of the riwayat in the traditions is that those tears should therefore change a person into becoming a true follower of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. It is just not just the tears themselves. Yes, the tears itself have a particular importance, but it is the result and that, you know, leading of the tears to something better that is important. And it's that fire, as we mentioned previously, within us, and the tears igniting that fire that enables us to go further, enable us to actually be of those who on the day of judgment will be of those laughing, of those blissful. Why? Because obviously following in the footsteps of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam can only lead to bliss, can only lead to tranquility. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all of you who are listening to this program.
Thank you, brother.
Glad to be with you.
Thank you. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. We are going to talk about a famous reciter of the Holy Quran, and then we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous Qari, preceded by its English translation. After it, brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation, and beside these parts, we are going to have some other interesting segments. So stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad. This outstanding Egyptian reciter was born in 1927, and his father Abdul Samad was a teacher of tajweed and memorizing of the Holy Quran. He is known as having a pure golden voice, and this is because of the beauty of his voice. Sheikh Abdul Basit has used all three registers of his voice in some of his recitations. And you know that the three registers are qarar, jawab, and jawab al jawab. That is low register, middle register, and high register. This prominent qari passed away in 1988 at the age of 61. May Allah bless his soul. Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of Sheikh Abdul Basid Abdul Samad reciting Surah Al-Haqqah from the very beginning to the end of verse 8, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. The reality. What is the reality? And what will make you know what the reality is? Thamud and Ad people denied the striking hour. As for Thamud, they were destroyed by the awful cry. And as for Ad, they were destroyed by a furious, violent wind.
هل ترى لهم من باقية صدق الله العظيم.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Haqqah from verse 1 to the end of verse 8, recited by Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Okay, this is a very beautiful surah because the beginning of this surah has three haqqas, which has madul lazim. And the mad is followed by a letter of shiddah. So it shows how shattering that day is.
Actually, the word itself helps to convey the meaning.
That's true. And we have matul lazim for these three haqqas. Al-haqqah, mal-haqqah, wa ma adraka mal-haqqah. So you have to lengthen these matul lazims to six vowel counts. Mm-hmm. You don't have a choice of four or five vowel counts.
Because there's a tashdeed, actually.
Because of the tashdeed, yes. And وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ. We have a madul munfasil here. It's a disjunct mad. Sheikh Abdul Basit lengthens this mad to 5 vowel counts. So that in total there are how many mads? 4 mads. 3 alhaqas and 1 وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ. We heard the ta of كَذَّبَتْ
clearly.
It's very difficult because you have a ta followed by a fa, and their place of articulation is close to each other.
And you have to take care not to pronounce them with qalqala.
The ta with qalqala. And the ta does not merge into the fa, because in some riwayas we have كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ, but not in hafs. You have to pronounce the ta and the fa separately. وَعَادٌ بِالْقَارِعَةِ. وَعَادٌ بِالْقَارِعَةِ, which is إِقْلَاب of Nun Sakina.
That's right.
Okay. The Nun turns into a meme with إِخْفَاء.
And then...
You don't close your mouth completely. This meme has to be pronounced with إِخْفَاء, which means that the mouth is not completely closed. There is a small space between the lips, and a nasal sound is made for 2 vowel counts.
Yes.
فَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَأُهْلِكُ بِالطَّاغِيَةِ. We have a ta with the highest level of tafkhim.
The strongest letter with the highest level of tafkhim.
Because it has an alif. Aliful mad. بِرِيحٍ. We have a ra with tarbiq. بِرِيحٍ صَارُ صَارٍ عَاتِيَةٍ. The sad has tafkhim at the second highest level.
Yes. And the Ra?
And the Ra has Tarqiq. The first Ra has Tafkhim.
Yes.
The second Ra is has to be pronounced with Tarqiq.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. Stay tuned. IRIB English Radio presents
Let's Recite the Quran.
Recitation.
Tajweed points.
Reciter's biography.
Quranic books.
Maqamat.
Translation.
Alhan.
Short lecture.
All
in Let's Recite the Quran.
Dear audience, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Salim Bimji.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today in our tradition, we want to look at another statement from the beloved messenger of God, the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, in which he speaks about 3 specific blessings which will be given to those who listen to the Quran. And in the tradition for today from the noble messenger, he wishes to share the following piece of information as has been narrated in the books of traditions. And the Prophet has been reported to have said the following. One who listens to the Quran while it is being recited will be kept away from the evils of this world. And one who recites the Quran will be kept away from the trials of the hereafter. And the person who listens to even one verse of the Book of Allah, this is better for him than possessing a mansion of gold. Here we see that the beloved Prophet is giving us again a metaphysical blessing, something that perhaps we cannot quantify or physically comprehend in the life of this transient world. But he's giving us a promise of 3 specific things which are in store for the individual who listens to the Quran being recited. And as we mentioned, that the blessings are there even for the people who listen to the Quran, because this is the word of God. As the Quran itself says, it is a mercy, it is a healing, it is a cure for what is in our hearts, what ails us. And so the Prophet tells us at the first level that we will be kept away from evils of this world through the recitation, through listening to the recitation of the Quran. At the second level, he tells us that the difficulties of the world to come, the trials of the hereafter, will also be removed, will be alleviated from this individual who listens to the Quran. And last but not least, he says that to listen to even one verse of the Book of God to be recited would be better for us than having a mansion of gold. Now, again, these are metaphysical realities. These are not things that we can perhaps necessarily quantify and feel within our hands or understand through the senses that we have been given. But, you know, we take the word of the Prophet and we take his explanation in this particular tradition to give us this understanding of the importance of listening to the Quran, that we will be kept away, as he says, from the evils of this world. And we know that there are so many evils, problems, challenges that are facing and that can face an individual. And one of the ways to try to alleviate these evils is to listen to the Quran. Obviously, as we have spoken about in the past, and we repeat again, that this is only the first step in appreciating the Quran, is to listen to it. We need to actively recite the Quran and actively work to understand the content of the Quran. It's not enough just to hear it, but rather, because the Quran is a book of guidance, it is a book of inspiration, it is a book of wisdom, then the ultimate goal should be to gain knowledge, insight, wisdom, spiritual proximity to our Creator through connecting to this holy book. As the Prophet also says, is that to protect ourselves and to ward off the calamities of the world to come, the hereafter, is also to be in connection and constant touch with the noble Quran. And he closes off by telling us that this book is so valuable, it is so beautiful, it has so much eloquence and elegance to it, and it should be so beloved to us that it is better than having a mansion full of gold to hear one verse of the Quran being recited. You know, this just gives us an understanding of what kind of a reward Allah has in place for us who listen to the Quran, that were we to have, on one hand, to listen to one verse of the Quran, and on the other hand, to possess a home, a mansion made out of gold, the Messenger shows us that it would be better to recite and to listen to one verse of the Quran.
Dear audience, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Goodbye.
نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن. When your horse returns to our camp riderless,
أزور سيدي ومولاي ومعتمدي
The ocean of dua.
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي.
I did you leave us to fend for ourselves?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
أسست أساس الظلم والجار عليكم أهل البيت ولعن الله أمتان دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها.
Brothers and sisters, in the previous program, we concluded that the meaning and definition of la'n is that when we are advised to do la'n, we concluded, it means that we are advised to pray Allah to distance from His mercy those who deserve to be distanced. So it has the meaning of expelling and banishing in itself. And although it is to some extent different from curse, but from now on when we use the word curse, we are referring to the accurate meaning of la'n as mentioned by the Arab lexicographers. Now, back to the course, trying to answer the question, why should we curse the founders of wrongdoings? Prior to that, let's talk about the difference between sab and la'n, since some think that these two are the same. In the Arabic language, the word sab is quite different from the word la'n. Ibn al-Athir in his Nihaya says that sab means a shatm, means to speak ill of somebody or something. And its etymological meaning is to cut. Some experts of lexicography, however, opine that the word sab is more stern than a shatm, because whereas shatm is to speak ill of someone, the word sab is to persist and prolong the same. So it's not correct to say that by invoking Allah to expel those who deserve to be expelled from His mercy, we are directly speaking ill and employing abusive language about them. It's not true. Ayatullah Sheikh Mirza Jawad al-Tabrizi says, "It may be said that what has been narrated from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, that indeed I dislike that you be frequent vilifiers, inni akrahu lakum an takunu sababin, is a proof for the prohibition of both la'n and sab. Imam Ali alayhi salam is reported to have said, لكنكم لو وصفتم أعمالهم وذكرتم حالهم كان أصوب في القول وأبلغ في العذر. Indeed, I dislike you to be frequent vilifiers, but were you to describe their actions and mention their state, it would be more correct in speech and more convincing in excuse. This is what the late esteemed jurisprudential authority Ayatollah Sheikh Jawad al-Tabrizi believes.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates Him, he understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their
their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But in response to that, we can say that the phrase "Inni akrahu lakum" that Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Indeed I dislike," does not establish legal prohibition, save in the case where there is an indication towards that. Also, the ruling is directed to addressees about whom the Imam alayhi salam said "lakum" in the mentioned tradition. So this does not clarify that it includes all the Muslims, because it is possible that there was a specific characteristics in those warriors who accompanied Imam alayhi salam in war. Because in that situation, the situation of war against the enemy, that situation requires aloofness from verbal confrontation, an attention to what is of greater importance and more appropriate in that state of war. And interestingly, what is disliked, in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam, is the one who frequently vilifies. And there is a difference between one who merely vilifies and the one who frequently does. So it is clear that disliking frequent vilification is not the same as disliking a mere vilification. Other than that, the prohibition in the verse is not a legislative prohibition. It seems that it is an advisory prohibition, because there is one hint in the sentence that comes after it. It says, "For were you to describe their actions and speak about their deeds, it would be more correct," Imam Ali alayhi salam says. Well, this means that the content of the tradition was geared to guide and show the importance of describing the state of the enemy instead of vilification in influencing the souls of the other side. So it did not mean that the prohibition of vilification is going to be stated directly. And overall, it seems that there has been a small misunderstanding in this case, because there is a difference between sab and la'an, because sab signifies the lowering of dignity and honor in a person, but la'an is an invocation to seek expulsion from the divine mercy, that banishing that we talked about earlier. So the prohibition of the first does not necessarily mean that there is also the prohibition of the second, because they are two different things. We will, God willing, continue talking about this issue in the next program. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أنت الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين
الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. WRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions, and other issues parents have regarding their Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers are, of course, all based upon the Holy Quran and the narrations of the household of the Prophet and, of course, the Prophet himself. Peace be upon them all. We have in our studio guest speaker Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, who is an Islamic researcher in the seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us here again, dear Sayyid. Our topic is also today regarding communication, and our question is about name calling our children, either good names or bad names. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. As human beings, as I would begin with, we need something to identify ourselves with. And the first thing that your parents give to you when you're born is a name. Before anything right. else. Before, sometimes even before you're even born, they give you a name. Right? So the mother gets pregnant and the parents decide what they should call their kid. So the beginning, the first thing that comes to their mind is names. So name, your name becomes part of who you are, becomes your identity. Even there are a lot of studies done that your names actually even affects your akhlaq as well. So whatever right. name you have, it holds certain moral traits with it. So if you have a good name, for example, it will show on you as well as a person, because you can hear it all the time. It becomes part of who you are.
This is, of course, a rule of thumb, dear listeners, because we also have dictators who bear yeah. the blessed names of the household of the Prophet, of course.
Yeah, so they said this happened. So a name is very important to a person, and especially to a child. A child holds his name close to him. So we can go both ways. We can call them good names, or we could call